Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize for him.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You be the judge.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Order in the court.
This is Wretched Radio. Ooh, prepare to play. Oh, this is big. This is a ratings bonanza. One of America's fastest growing game sensations.
What are we calling this thing again?
You just said you be the judge.
Right. Yeah, yeah. But this particular version is, am I being consistent? That's what we're going with, right? Very popular. We've done this so many times. Am I being consistent? Jimmy, you will be the federal head representing tens and tens of wretched radio people who are listening to this here program.
Okay.
Are you prepared for your most serious responsibility?
Absolutely.
All right.
I'm prepared.
Am I being consistent? Oh. You be the judge.
Oh, so not only am I judging something, I'm judging you. Particularly,
you know what,
boy,
I'm
ready.
If a shark is in blood infested water and makes a sound, you're making that sound right now.
God does answer prayers.
Am I being consistent? Round number one. I am a conservative, political, far right kind of guy. I think Ronald Reagan was close to being a socialist. That's how conservative I am, buddy boy. But as part of my conservatism, I understand that if you want small military, high taxes, a staggered tax system, and you know what? Let's just ditch meritocracy. That's okay, too. But I am really, really conservative. Jimmy, am I being consistent?
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Round two. Tennis is the greatest sport ever invented, and all other sports are wrong and bad, and they shouldn't be played. It should just be tennis. But if you like pickleball, that's fine too. Jimmy, am I being consistent?
No.
All right, round number three. I am a biblical complementarian. I believe that God has defined who does what to create order in our society, in our churches, and in our homes. God has created a set of rules that guide who does what and who has what particular responsibility. And as a complementarian, I believe that God made men and women to complement one another. Different roles, but equal in value. I am a firm complementarian, but if you want to have women pastors, that's okay. We can get... Am I being consistent, Jimmy?
No.
That's funny, because that's kind of what I'm hearing coming out of the Southern Baptist Convention in Indianapolis right now. People who are claiming to be conservative complementarians and yet are willing to say, but hey, we can all get along if you have a different view on this. Now, that can be true. That can be true. But I think there's two considerations. Different Christians can have some varying beliefs. But one of the considerations is, what is that belief? What is it? The second question would be, if I, based on what that belief is, if I claim to affirm position X, but am willing to embrace position Y simultaneously, I might not be being consistent. And I think that's what's happening right now. People are stating, hey, I'm a complementarian, but we have to let other churches stay inside of the Southern Baptist Convention that have differences of opinions on this. Now, this is tricky business to a degree, because it would not be considered an essential theology proper, meaning this would not be a doctrine that you would say damns people. At least not on the face of it. And so people would make arguments like, well, wait a second. People, what about communion? There are some people who say take it once a month, take it once a quarter, every time you get together. You're going to kick everybody out? And the answer to that would be no, because the Bible isn't crystal clear on that issue. And it is not an issue that would damn somebody. There are a number of issues like that, and we can get along. In fact, I think that I didn't actually preach this on Sunday. I just decided to pull it out. Let me give it a go here. Jesus in Matthew chapter 11 is stating that people are rejecting him all over the place. They're rejecting his forerunner, John the Baptist. Therefore, they are rejecting him. Entire towns are rejecting him. The people are rejecting him. And the Pharisees are rejecting him. And how does he describe these Pharisees? You're like children in the streets. And you're playing your tune and you expect everybody to dance to your particular version of what you think religion should be. And I think that not to the degree of the Pharisees, but those of us who are conservative perhaps can be infected at least a little bit by that very same attitude. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about seeing somebody do Christianity in a slightly different form. I'm not talking about theology. I'm talking about expression. And we can immediately conclude, hey, you need to dance perfectly to my tune. I think that's a propensity because the Pharisees, if you recall, if anybody were labeled conservative in that day, it would be the Pharisees. We're the conservatives. I wonder if we have that bent and we need to guard against that. Having said that, you can go way too far. You can take that and say, well, none of these distinctives make any difference. Well, they do. And I think we need to examine, again, the role of women in the church. What level is this issue? Let me take you to the Christian Post that actually did a really balanced job of presenting different positions on this subject. Now, the former president of the SBC said, hey, look out, we could lose minority churches if we have a permanent ban on women pastors. The understanding is that there are a number of, hate this term, black churches in the SBC that have women with the title of pastor, some form or another. And the argument from the former president is, hey, if we tighten this up, we could lose minority churches. Why did we need to point that out? What does skin color have to do with a biblical position? And the answer is nothing. Can you imagine somebody getting up to say, hey, this theological issue, if we make this decision, we could lose a lot of white churches. You'd go, well, what? The Bible supersedes all of those distinctives. And we need to make a decision on how the church is run based on what the Bible says, not the ethnic makeup of the church. Nevertheless, many deeming, actually two presidents deeming this to be unwise and unnecessary. Quote, I remain convictionally opposed to this amendment, not because of its content, but because its attempt to undermine our historic principles of cooperation. So I don't think that we should enforce complementarianism, but I believe it. I'm just not willing to say that that needs to be a deal breaker. Now, I think we can understand that from a Southern Baptist Convention perspective, that not everybody has the exact same expression. They don't all do church the same way. That is true. But does that mean that the principle that is behind the Southern Baptist Convention supersedes what the Bible clearly states? Because that is the issue. The issue, yeah, the face of it would be the role of women, but the actual issue is bibliology. And this article actually gets to that because they go about the business of saying, not everybody agrees. Heath Lampert, for one of them. I sure like Heath. I love his book, The Great Love of God. It's available at the Wretched Store, by the way. He's the pastor down at First Baptist Jacksonville, said this. The law amendment is one of the most crucial issues facing messengers in Indianapolis because the real issue on this matter is the Bible. The Bible is crystal clear. If I said to the fellows who are going, look, I'm opposed to racism, but if there are churches in the SBC that want to be racist, we can get along because that's just a tertiary issue. They'd go, whoa, 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 wait a second here. That's wrong on two levels. Number one, that is not the way the Bible clearly speaks about our attitude towards skin color. It's crystal clear that you can't override that. And if you do override that, then you're allowing somebody to persist in sin. That's the second issue and concern. Heath Lambert stated this: the Bible is crystal clear, the office of pastor reserved for men as qualified by Scripture. That clear knowledge makes this whole thing much easier than some of the overcooked debates around the issue would lead you to believe. It's really simple in his eye. Simple faithfulness demands our agreement with Scripture. This issue is a bibliology issue, and it's a sin issue. And I find it hard to imagine that if, for instance, there were an amendment that said we really need to tighten up on pastoral abuse. Well, look, I'm opposed to pastoral abuse, but there can be some churches here that are, and we can't dictate as a convention how the church is supposed to run. Are we going to be consistent or are we not? This is Wretched Radio. Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for joining Wretched Radio today, and we want to introduce you to one of the new eight voices that will soon be joining this ministry. Meet Pastor Brad Bigney. Pastor Bigney is a certified biblical counselor, a pastor with a Master's of Divinity, and he's also an author. He's written Gospel Treason, Betraying the Gospel with Hidden Idols. His expertise is in marriage and parenting, and he provides invaluable guidance for families, and we can't wait for Pastor Bigney to start producing content. And that's where you come in, because your support can help us bring more voices just like Brad Bigney's to the forefront. Join our $250,000 match campaign right now. You can get all of the details at wretched.org/fellows and see how every dollar you give will be matched. So that means essentially doubled. Get all of the details right now at wretched.org/fellows. Together, we can transform lives with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Gotta tell you, very excited. We have got a new outreach that we are working on with the good folks at the Masters Academy International, talking about getting John MacArthur study Bibles in Spanish to South American countries, some of which we maybe can't mention, if you know what I'm saying. It was such a delightful time, and so many people participated in our Bible distribution to the Philippines. That was such a gas. But as long as I brought up the Masters Academy International, it is a great ministry. It's a privilege to be working with these people. They're very thoughtful. They're very methodical. Teaching men how to preach the Word of God rightly. Then they send them back to their churches where they open up the Bible, perhaps for the first time, at least to that depth. Because of the training of the Masters Academy International, if you want to support a ministry that strengthens the local church, hey, you'd be hard-pressed to do better than TMAI. You can learn more about that, if and you want to, at wretched.org/pastor.
Know your church fathers. Athanasius was the Bishop of Alexandria in the 4th century. He was a champion of the Church's fight against Arianism and was a chief author of the Nicene Creed. However, his orthodoxy did not equal popularity. Athanasius was exiled no less than 5 times, but Athanasius chose to honor God instead of man.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We were going to move from Indianapolis to Dallas, but for Jimmy, this is Wretched Radio. Jimmy?
Yes?
A final word, which I actually doubt, because the Southern Baptist Convention meeting in Indianapolis, they're making some big decisions, specifically what I believe to be a key moment. This is a seminal moment for the Southern Baptist Convention, because we have seen historically every single small Orthodox Protestant denomination go radically wonky because they compromised on a bibliology issue. And that bibliology issue is the role of women. It is clear in Scripture. And yet, there are some people at the SBC who are saying, we do not need any more language in SBC documents to strengthen our complementarian position. We've already got enough stuff that says it. The role of a pastor is reserved for men. Now, please note, one of the tools that is being used in the SBC is the injection of a word you are not going to find in 1 Timothy 2 and 3 and Titus 1. Senior. That is how people are sneaking women pastors into the church. She's not the senior pastor. But that simply is not what the Bible says. It doesn't differentiate between this pastor with these responsibilities and that pastor with those responsibilities. In fact, while this is going to sound a little crazy, and I sure wouldn't start a new denomination over this, I don't know that we should have an adjective in front of any pastor's name. Executive pastor, children's pastor, what? Whoa, pastor. Now, my responsibilities happen to be in this area. But when we put adjectives in front of it, it has allowed some wiggle room for some to say, as long as it's not the senior pastor. Now, Jimmy, during the break,
yes,
because we were going to go to Dallas and talk about Tony Evans, you said that you were reading an article from one of the past presidents.
Correct.
And the quote that caught your attention was?
He says, my objection, talking about the law amendment, is that it rewrites the rules of our cooperation and attempts to fix, with a sledgehammer, something that isn't really broken.
Now, you know what? That word sledgehammer, that's kind of big language.
Mm-hmm.
I've read the law amendment. I didn't think there was a sledgehammer in that at all. Nevertheless, keep going.
It assumes that what we have in place now, that is the Baptist faith and message and our principles for defining cooperation, are insufficient in dealing with doctrinal deterioration among our churches. But is that assumption justified? Didn't we pull off and successfully maintain the conservative resurgence with these very instruments? And just a year ago, didn't the messengers overwhelmingly vote to remove two churches, Saddleback by 94% and Fern Creek, that were not closely identified with our faith and practice in this area?
Wait, hold on a second. So then what's the problem with the amendment?
Exactly.
If it's just strengthening what he already affirms, I understand the magnanimity of the Southern Baptist Convention. It is not a denomination, but they chose a different word, convention. It's an association. But as was stated by the former president, they have principles of cooperation. They do draw lines. There are some folks that are going to get booted from the SBC. Some churches are going to have to go away. I am so certain that if a pastor of an SBC church got up to affirm slavery, American chattel slavery, they'd be kicked out in a heartbeat, and rightly so. They do it regularly. There's a pastor who's committing a sin, out you go. Abuse is being tolerated in a church, out you go. You can't be a part of this. What's the difference between some of those issues and the issue of complementarianism? I just personally see that there's a lack of consistency, and I think that it comes from a charitable place. It comes from a desire to, hey, we can't be so nitpicky on stuff that we just fracture into 1,000 pieces. And to a degree, of course, I think we would all affirm that. But the question is, what are the issues? What are the issues? A church that says men need to wear a suit and tie to church, and another one says you can come casual. Can we get along on that? Yeah, we can. Because it's a low-level issue. I mean, hey, I'm hot about it. It's kind of a thing for me. But to say that that should cause division, we get that there are some things that we genuinely do overlook. In fact, I would say sometimes that some of us need to work a little harder on accepting some of those differences, those expressions in church, or different ways of doing church. We can have a tendency to, I believe, at least I have this propensity, my theology on everything is absolutely right. And if yours isn't, then I raise a Spock eyebrow. You don't agree with me on church polity and the percentage of elders that need to vote whether or not to remove another elder? Anathema! I can go that way, and I need to understand that there are differences of issues here, and that's where this debate can get a little muddy. I grant you that, because some of the principles behind we can be charitable in some areas, but that doesn't mean that we're charitable in every area. We need to be defining these terms. I'm very excited. That is something that we're going to be working to do, and I hope in a loving kind of way. As we proceed with the relaunching of this ministry, we want to be speaking into these issues. We want to be helpful on these issues. We want to provide resources on these issues. And if I could do a shout out for us, hey, we're really getting close on our matching gift campaign. If you have not considered becoming a gospel partner to support us and our effort to provide, to be a ministry... I was thinking about this morning. What are we trying to do here at this ministry? We're bringing on 8 new people, 8 new voices, and you're going to dig it. You're going to dig it so much. Hey, Jimmy, you yes. have the, this is kind of a teaser, so we'll just pretend we didn't play this. You're still working on the final form. Mm-hmm. The integrated podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Can you play that where we can all hear that?
Oh, wow. Yes, I think so.
All right, you just start flailing your arms when you got that.
Okay, give me a second.
It's a podcast from Dr. John Krotz at Faith Bible down in Sharpsburg, Georgia, to help us connect head and heart. It's going to be so good. Podcast with Dr. Yo, you're waving your hand.
Yeah, I think I got it.
All right, here we go.
Integrated.
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 What do you mean?
Does your heart need to catch up with your head?
Is it both?
Head knowledge alone isn't enough.
So it's both together.
Heartfelt faith without understanding falls short.
Oh, now I get it.
This integration is where faith finds its true power.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Krotz.
Excellent. This is great production work.
You get the
gist.
Mm-hmm.
We want to bring these two realms together because they aren't separate realms. Life is one realm, God's. And theology must be integrated, whether we're even aware of it or not. Theology is integrated into every aspect of life. And that includes institutions, governmental institutions, education, science, all of it. And that's why this morning I was thinking about what are we trying to build by adding all these fellows? And I thought of an institution. We're trying to build an institution that is bigger, more forceful, has a greater presence, is uncompromising, and stands. Because, look, the liberals get away with deconstructing because they own the institutions. They own them. Media. They own it. Now, I'm not a dominionist, and I'm certainly not seeking to climb the 7 mountains of dominion. What I'm saying is, let's build another mountain. One that overshadows all of those other realms. So that's what we're attempting to do. If you can support it, we'd be most grateful. Wretched.org/donate. Wretched.org/donate.
Thank you for not mentioning my first take.
Well, I was tempted. Do you want to do the first take?
No, I don't have it.
You do too.
Well, not easily accessible because I put it far, far away.
Basically, you turned John Krotz's last name into a 7-syllable word. Please welcome Dr. John Krotz. What in the world did you do to the man's name?
I was excited about
you. You were a little enthused in that particular take. It's going to be outstanding. Adam Tyson's, we're thinking The Way of Manhood is going to be the title of that. Helping Gen Zs do what? Not all Gen Zs use this word, but the millennials do. Adulting. How to man up. How to be a man of convictions. How to be a man who understands there's bigger, more important things in life than having a particular job or a acreage type of automobile, physique. There's something bigger. And there's something that is more like a golden apple that we should be striving for, and that is godliness. And that, too, will integrate theology with life. Once again, wretched.org/donate. And if you're done, Jimmy, we're going to move from Dallas. No, Indianapolis. Where are we moving? Yeah. Indianapolis. I'm a little globally challenged. Indianapolis to Dallas next on Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, first up, the University of Michigan spent a staggering $100,000 on an event to celebrate its DEI 2.0 plan. Oh, it's the second version, I guess. DEI, of course, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And the event included an espresso bar, a hip-hop performance, and a lecture linking critical race theory to hip-hop because, of course, nothing says academic rigor like coffee and rap battles. The details emerged last month, revealing that the university paid a hip-hop artist $25,000 for a 10-minute speech and participation in a 45-minute roundtable discussion. But while Michigan was spending big on hip-hop and espresso, other universities have been moving in a different direction. The University of North Carolina recently repealed its DEI policies, opting for new guidelines focused on neutrality and free speech. And likewise, Texas has banned DEI programs at public universities, which has led to layoffs. Switching gears to Indiana, where the Carmel Clay School Board recently voted to keep George Johnson's memoir, All Boys Aren't Blue, on the shelves of its school libraries. The book, challenged by a local community member, survived by a narrow 3-2 vote. The decision raised eyebrows, of course, because, well, the content of the book is not something that children need to be reading. And I'll leave it at that because I don't want to even mention or discuss here on this platform, or any for that matter, what's contained in this book. Moving to our nation's capital, the Department of Education proudly flying the Pride flag this month because, of course it is. Kicking off June with a tweet celebrating Pride, the department has ensured its social media presence is, quote, extra gay for the month. That's their quote, not mine. While conspiracy theorists claim schools are secretly pushing LGBTQ agendas, I'm not sure it's secret anymore. Finally, congratulations are in order to my home state, the state of Tennessee, for being ranked number one as the worst state for LGBTQ equality. Good job, Tennessee. Out Leadership's 2024 equality report shows the state of Tennessee scoring low on equality due to its refusal to allow gender transitions for minors. As a proud Tennessean, I say kudos to my home state for standing firm against the cultural tide. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians to encourage new believers in their faith, reminding them of Christ's imminent return and exhorting them to godly conduct. When you consider Christ's return, beware of two errors: to live as though his return were not imminent, or to be so concerned with his return that we neglect his work on earth. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Told you that wasn't the final word. This is Wretched Radio. While conservatives are trying to be charitable on some issues, perhaps their desire for charitability has superseded clarity. And that can happen, can't it? There's something that we're really, it's like we really need this. And then something happens that is clearly wrong, but our need for that thing to happen causes us to be confused about the thing that just happened. A demonstration might bring some clarity. Let's just say at this year ministry, we said, being nice. We got to be nice. Nice, we are, We're nice here at Gospel. Don't I sound nice? We're nice here at Gospel Partners Meeting, and everything that we do here is going to be nice. And then I get a report that somebody from production, we'll say Rebecca, walked down the hall and punched Jimmy in the throat.
That's not really far from accurate.
That might be Emily. Should have used Emily. You know, I wish you could be here to hear what goes on in the hallway. Jimmy's office is right across the hallway from Emily, and it is hysterical what happens between the two of them. Their love language is dripping sarcasm. So it's just loaded. They're pretending. I think you're pretending disdain for one another.
Well, I mean,
it's kind of your ongoing joke. Debatable, yeah. Is what it is. See what I mean right there. So Emily walks across the hall and punches Jimmy right in the throat. Jimmy complained, "Hey, Emily punched me in the throat." And I say, "But you know, we're going to be nice. So I'm going to let it go because we're going to be nice." Hold on. I think that your desire for niceness has overridden, well, other things. And I think that that is happening for some. And remember, please note, we really are cheering for the Southern Baptist Convention. We really are. I don't have an axe to grind at all. I'm the opposite of an axe grinder with the SBC. I really want it to be robust and strong. It's good for all churches. And at this time, it's very good for our country. So this is all just an encouragement to keep pulling to the right, or you're going to drift to the left. And we've got to make sure that we don't let some of our principles that we really esteem, because at this moment, we want to be this, so we overlook that. I can tell you another realm where that's happening. That would be happening in the NLNR movement. If you've never heard of it, it's neither left nor right. You see, we're Christians, and yeah, we're conservative, but we're neither left nor right, because they're tired of the acrimony that they witness in politics. The stridency from both sides they perceive to be awful. So we're not on this side. We're not on that side. And so they overlook all sorts of chicanery. That, for instance, when it comes like to the sexuality issues, we just look. Got to let people be. And Pride Month, that's okay. It's like, whoa. Your desire to not be acrimonious, let's just trust that those are the motivators, that it's not that they're actually left and all they do is punch right and coddle left, but their desire to not be acrimonious has caused them to not be firm on some issues that are so biblical. A Christian, here, even this is another area way we can do it, that we want to be in the political realm, and I say thumbs up to you if you do, but we don't want to bring our Christianity in because, well, you know, the world, they don't like, but in fact, I just read a poll that was done by Lifeway. I think I have it here someplace. I do have it here. With my Owen Strand article on Christian nationalism. It was an article that was talking about the percentage of people who think that the Bible should be influential in making decisions for the government. Got it right here for your consideration. It is a Lifeway poll. There's a shocker. While majorities of Biden and Trump supporters oppose the idea that government policy should support religious values and beliefs. Huh? Okay, a much higher share of Trump backers, 43% to 13% of Biden supporters, agree with the statement, the Bible should have a great deal of influence on the laws of the U.S., is a much lower number. It's actually 36% to 11%. And so we know that, we smell that you can't bring your faith into politics in any sort of packaging. So I'm not going to ever cite the Bible as a politician because I want to see you've something that you probably felt pressure from the society that surrounds you has caused you to perhaps not be a bold lion when you need to be. We need to guard against that. I would also say this as a final thought on what's happening at the SBC convention. I think we'll know probably in a couple of days where this landed. But make no mistake about it, to my conservative friends who are trying to be charitable with egalitarians, please note, the egalitarians, they don't tolerate complementarianism. Go ahead, try to bring genuine complementarianism into the Episcopalian Church. Those super nice, accepting, affirming people would boot you in a heartbeat. Now, that doesn't justify, if that's wicked behavior, doesn't justify us doing the same. But I do believe it does reveal that liberal folks, they're plenty intolerant. They're more than happy to condemn you. Sometimes it's just not that subtle at all, because I'll hear some of these sermons or speeches given at conventions in these liberal denominations, and they can be quite snarky. Don't mistake, they're dripping with it toward conservatives. So maybe the people that you're trying to play nice with, they wouldn't play nice with you. Because I'm telling you, if the egalitarian movement inside of the SBC were stronger than the complementarian movement, you'd have a hard time being there. They might kick you out of the convention. So let's make sure that societal pressure, it is fascinating. It is so instructive to look back in history and notice, wow, that movement that happened, that was in response to this movement right here. Now, by the way, the video that we posted a few days ago on the history of Protestant denominations that were once Orthodox that went wonky, there was one, the Methodists. They go back further. It was in the 20s. They decided to have a conversation about the role of women. And then they decided, well, let's have some meetings on it. We got to study the issue. That's the playbook. And then we'll have deaconesses. And then we'll appoint elders. And then we'll have pastors. And then we will celebrate rainbow inclusivity. But it was the Methodists. That started in the 20s. Presbyterian Church USA, what we will call the ELCA, although I think at the time it was probably ALC and LCA, when they were looking at this issue, it started in the 70s. The conversations happened in the 70s. Why were we talking about the role of women in the church in the 70s? Is it possible it was in response to the feminist movement of the 60s? And you could even go back to the UMC in the 20s. What was going on? The suffragette movement was huge. And we feel that. And historically, we have seen this in all sorts of configurations where the society is pressing in. And so in an effort to try to be thoughtful, kind of adopt that Tim Keller, hey, we want to have a seat at the table, so we don't want to be offensive. We want to blunt any sort of sharp edges. We want to make sure that we're dull so that we don't offend anybody. We've seen it historically, and we got to watch out for it. Having said that, we do need to be gentle as doves. There's a tension that's there. We do need to be here's what we're going. I love it when segues happen all by themselves. Calvin Robinson. Have you heard Calvin Robinson? Somebody just sent this to me. It happened a year ago. We may have shared it a year ago. He was speaking. He's considered a cleric of a conservative sort of Anglican offshoot. No, but he was studying to be up in the Anglican church. And they booted him. He left, I think. But they made it really awful for him. Because he, as a black man, was saying, all this racism y'all are talking about, I don't see it. Whoa, there it is again. The liberals not tolerating an opposing position. And he spoke at the Oxford Union. And I'm telling you, that dude didn't miss a beat. He was like on point. Okay, maybe there was one thing that he said where I'm like, but otherwise, holding the line on the rainbow issues inside of the church. He used the word degeneracy. Whoa. And yet his tone was one that said, I don't hate you people. So he was able to be polite. He was able to compliment where a compliment was earned. But he did not fudge an iota. And he might be worthy of our study to make sure that we find that balance too. Next on Wretched Radio.
All right, folks, get ready. Grab yourself a comfortable chair, a box of tissues, and get ready to go on a bit of a roller coaster ride, because that's what's going to happen if you pick up Safely Home by Randy Alcorn, a book that's been making even the toughest men cry like babies who drop their ice cream. Safely Home will challenge your faith, it will question your comfort, and it will make you reconsider how you view the lost. It is a straight-up sucker punch with hard-hitting questions like, are you ready to suffer for your faith? Are you ready to die for it? Yeah, it's that intense. And don't take my word for it. You can actually read a sample right now in the Wretched store at wretched.org. And remember, when you purchase the book, tissues are not included, but they are heavily recommended. Seriously, stock up. Grab your copy right now of Safely Home by Randy Alcorn at wretched.org and get ready to have your faith strengthened like never before. Just don't say we didn't warn you.
If you're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry, oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years, and it's growing like a nobody's business, and it is a testimony to their faithfulness that over 50% of the Tomorrow Club volunteer leaders were Tomorrow Club kid attendees. Now, they, in their villages, are teaching the kids the gospel as volunteers for the Tomorrow Clubs. I got to tell you, that is a testimony. If you love supporting evangelistic ministries that are faithful, that actually preach repentance and faith, it's an outstanding ministry. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Attention all Christians who refuse to be silenced. Are you tired of seeing culture crumble before your eyes? Picture this. Later this year, 8 brilliant minds, each a powerhouse in their field, will be coming on board and joining forces with us here at Gospel Partners Media, and we're creating a Christian version of the Daily Wire. We'll be tackling tough topics by writing articles, creating resources and homeschool curriculums, video resources, podcasts, and a lot more. These gentlemen will be your guides in navigating this upside-down, brave new world we're living in. But we need your help to make this vision a reality. If you'll join our $250,000 match campaign right now, you can be part of this exciting new chapter. Every dollar you give will be matched up to $250,000. Just visit wretched.org/fellows right now to learn more about the initiative and each of the 8 brilliant minds that will be joining us. That's wretched.org/fellows.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the cornerstone. When laying a foundation, every stone must be aligned in reference to the cornerstone. God is building his church as a holy temple, and as believers, we are being brought into line with the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Sorry, kids. This car has been turned around. This is Wretched Radio. We were visiting Indianapolis, the Southern Baptist Convention. We're going to take a trip to Dallas because this is the big bomb story in evangelicalism right now. Tony Evans stepping away from being the pastor at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship after 48 years because of an undisclosed sin from years past. We're going to have to visit that another day. And actually, I'm quite okay with that because at the moment, there's kind of nothing here to see because they aren't disclosing it and it's a local church issue. Now, having said that, he's a national ministry, and so I do believe that we can discuss it. But without details, I don't want to traffic in the realm of gossip. I'd rather focus on his theology, which is public record, which many people have been concerned about for many years. But we're not going to Dallas now. We're going to go to the Oxford Union. Calvin Robinson, using the word Catholic, by the way, small c Catholic, universal. defending the traditional roles of marriage, he started out by citing early church fathers, the Catechism of the Anglican Communion, the prayer book of the Anglican Communion. So here's where we've been. And he continued, and he was strong, and yet I don't think you're going to get the sense this guy was a jerk. Even when somebody heckles him and he had to tell him, watch your mouth. This is a guy who I think struck that balance. Let's see if we can learn.
So are we looking to alter the catechism of just the Anglican Church or the Catholic Church too? Should they all get with the times? 2,000 years of Christian doctrine cannot be altered at the whim of a few liberal bishops. What is God ordained cannot be adjusted to suit our new liberal progressive views. Marriage is heterosexual and monogamous and should be open to the possibility of children. The Bible backs all of this up. It's very clear throughout on this matter, whether it's 9 verses or 32,000 verses.
I don't know what the bell was for, but it was a woman sitting there ringing a bell, a timing thing supposedly.
Marriage is between one man and one woman for the purposes of procreation. Sex outside of marriage is a sin. And that is the same for heterosexuals as it is for homosexuals. Although the Bible is quite clear that same-sex relations are abhorrent. And before some smart aleck starts asking me the question of whether I'm wearing mixed fabrics, there is a difference between the moral laws and ceremonial laws.
He just called people a smart aleck. But did he sound like he was torqued?
And Christ did come to fulfill the old laws. Both the issues of marriage and homosexuality, however, are still addressed in the New Testament. In Paul's epistles, but also in the Gospels. Jesus does talk of marriage in Mark and Matthew, both in the context of heterosexual union. So my question to the bishops would be, do we not believe in the authority of scriptures anymore? Can we pick and choose which parts of the gospel we adhere to?
Wrong.
The church, after all, is Christ's bride, as we heard earlier. Jesus is described as the bridegroom, so that we may know how he relates to us. Two grooms would be pointless. Christ is already in union with the Father and the Holy Spirit.
Great point.
It's us he's inviting in. Two brides is what we're looking at here.
That is such a great point, remembering that the preeminent reason for marriage is that it paints a picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ and his relationship with the church. And we make a hash of that painting when it's not, as prescribed, a male and a female.
The church is attempting to marry itself and to leave Christ out of the picture.
Boom.
We are directly talking about undermining God's plan as he has revealed it to us. We're replacing his authority with our own.
You know what? I got to tell you, I think that might be my favorite, strongest argument. Right there. It makes a hash out of what God intended marriage to portray. I need to remember that.
If marriage is no longer between one man and one woman, are we open to the idea of polygamy? We disregard the heterosexual aspect, so why not the monogamous aspect too? If love is love, as we keep hearing, who's to say that three men loving each other is not more love than two men loving each other? Shame. Degeneracy.
Shame. Sure degeneracy. Did you hear that? Shame. Degeneracy, he said. He's being a John the Baptist here, speaking truth. Love.
Mo has echoed the words love is love tonight, and this is not about love being love. This is about marriage, the sacrament of holy matrimony. It is directly connected to love, but it's not the definition of love. Too many people utter those words and confuse the meaning of love. Agape, the biblical context of love, is a divine love. It's a sacrificial love. It's not lustful. People often conflate sex with love. It's very disingenuous. We heard quite a bit of that. But then, of course, atheists often parrot the words, God is love. And we've heard that one tonight too, again, without any understanding. Yes, God is love, but he sets the terms, not us. Another one we've heard plenty of is inclusivity. Should the church be more inclusive? Again, it's a play of words. It's virtue signaling. It's to appear good rather than to be good.
Great
the church
line.
Should absolutely
Great
be inclusive.
Line.
Christ spent time with tax collectors and prostitutes, but it is they who went away changed, not Christ.
Great line.
We are fallen, therefore we are all sinners. The church is open to sinners. Of course it is. That's the purpose of the church. But it should not be to encourage people to continue to sin. Our duty as clerics is to help lead people to Christ, to lead them away from sin, not to embrace it, not to affirm it. I know many LGBT people I know many LGBT people who live lives in Christ. They abstain from sexual gratification to be closer to God. And it's not easy. It really isn't. It's perhaps not fair, but it is right and it is good. And these people are being let down. I've had people crying, saying, I could have got married, but I did what the church taught me was right. And now the church is saying they were wrong all along. I've wasted my life. As Christians, we're called to be in the world, but not of the world. The trap that we're falling into in this debate is looking at the church through the eyes of the world rather than through his kingdom.
Amen to that. And that was an interesting perspective, wasn't it? That the new progressive approach, all of those Christians who had those aberrant desires, suppressed them, desired to be godly, not just the ones who are alive, the ones that are dead, wasted. That's not very nice.
In the secular world, we already have equality in law. People can enter civil partnerships or even gay marriage outside of the church, and that's their prerogative. However, the faith is inherently discriminatory. God is discriminatory. He sets conditions on us entering his heavenly kingdom. It is not a free-for-all. We must turn away from sin, repent, and follow Christ. And I want to specify, it is the sin that is the problem, not the sinner.
This got a little muddy.
Every single person is loved by God, and God forgives all of us of our depravity. But we have to turn away from our sins and turn toward him. And it seems the panel opposite me has forgotten to separate the sin from the sinner. One can denounce sin while still welcoming the sinner.
That I agree with.
So as I wrap up, my message to the proposing side
is fiery.
Do not lead us astray. Do not lead people astray.
That is, that's an imperative. Hey, don't do this without a sharp tone. Woo!
Do not be the wolves in sheep's clothing.
Woo!
Do not be the false teachers that the Bible warns us about.
Wow! That's red hot. And yet, did he sound like he was just mad at these people?
Remember your obligation to defend the faith. Stop teaching about diversity, inclusion, and equality, and get back to teaching about redemption and salvation. This is spiritual neglect. Help people by telling them the truth. Be kind to people by supporting them through those struggles and reminding them that Christ suffers with them. And be compassionate by leading them to Christ when the world tries to lead them away from him. The church is imploding. And the faithful masses have stopped turning up on Sundays, and we are seeing the most rapid decline of Christianity in this country that we may have ever seen. Do not accelerate it with heresy.
Oh, this dude.
You do not have the authority to bless sin. When I hear the Bishop of London on record saying these new prayers will mean priests can bless same-sex relationships, some of which may be sexual in nature, I hear the devil at work. Bishops are promoting the idea of sacramental sodomy. Let them be anathema. Repent. And to the rest of you, I have no doubt that some of you will consider me a bigot or a transphobe or a homophobe, but I am neither of those things, none of those things. I am simply a follower of Christ, a Christian. And we are naturally countercultural. And if so-called liberals were truly diverse and tolerant, they would embrace us just as they embrace everyone else.
But we know that isn't true. And yet we sometimes bend over backwards to accommodate their wrong views.
Not right now. I'm just wrapping up. And the point has been made, but the growing Christophobic attitude around this public debate and the ugly level of hypocrisy is that we really see people hold Muslims and people of other faiths to the same expectations that they hold Christians to. Who is calling, except my good friend here, for Islam to embrace gay marriage? Who is calling for the Quran to be updated to modern societal norms?
Nobody.
It is the same. Mind your language.
Love that. Somebody said something. Mind your own language.
The same patronizing attitude of people patronize other faiths while being intolerant towards Christians at the same time. It's a shame, but in the words of St. Athanasius of Alexandria, if the world is against the truth, then I am against the world.
Well done, sir. And may we all learn perhaps a lesson from that. Got to be firm. Can't compromise. Can't bend over backwards to accommodate error. We've got to understand there's essentials. There are some issues where we can have some disagreements, but there are times when we stand, and as we do, we've got to do it. We're commanded to do it lovingly. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.